You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Well, hello there. This is Mike Napier. I am setting in for Brian Hobbs. Welcome to Messenger Insight. Today, we are blessed to have Lee Strobel with us. Good afternoon, Lee.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Man, I am fantastic.
Good.
I am fantastic. I am happy to be a follower of Christ in a day like today with lots of opportunities to stand up for our faith. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. You're right about that.
I love it. Thank you for taking this opportunity to join us on Messenger Insight. Brian hates that he is not here with us, but hopefully we'll be able to get together again at some day in the future. But he looks forward to seeing you at the State Evangelism Conference. That'll be coming up January 25th, 26th.
Yeah, that's my birthday, you know, January 25th.
So. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to spend my birthday with you guys.
Yes, it will. That'll be good. That's good. Hey, on that birthday, that Monday night, you're going to be speaking at our State Evangelism Conference.
Right.
There's a musical group, a worship group called Master's Voice. They're going to be leading worship for us all that day and then that evening. And then on Tuesday morning, beginning at 9 o'clock, you're actually going to be leading a breakout for us. You're going to teach that breakout twice, as you know, once at 9 and once at 10:30. Can you kind of give us a sneak peek of what that breakout's going to be like?
Sure. You know, one of the things that all our churches desire and all pastors desire is to see more evangelistic effectiveness, to see the community reach with the gospel, to see the congregation more engaged evangelistically and so forth. But how do we do that? How do we kind of gently turn up the temperature of evangelism in the local church? This is something that my friend Mark Middleberg and I have been studying and been part of for many, many years, and our new Center for American Evangelism at Houston Baptist University is built around how do we help churches to become more evangelistically effective. So I'm going to talk about a process, a six-stage process that Mark and I have developed over the years that is how we can take any church, wherever they are on their evangelistic scale, whether they're white-hot evangelistically or cold evangelistically, and ratchet up the temperature a few degrees. And it's very practical stuff. It's helpful stuff that deals with everything from leadership to training and so forth. So I think it's going to be real meaty stuff that people can take and use in their own life, but also in their church, whatever role they have in their church, to see a greater harvest for Christ in the 21st century.
Wow, that sounds exciting to me. I may sneak in that breakout.
Well, you know, I'm excited about it too because so many churches, I think, are started with the desire to reach people for Christ. And we look at our mission statements that were drafted maybe 100 years ago or 50 years ago, and all of them have in it the desire to reach the community
for
Christ.
Right.
That's why, you know, we all have that heart. But sometimes we kind of lose our way, and sometimes other things become seemingly more urgent and need our attention. And often I think we need to go back and say, what are some concrete ways that we can shore up our evangelistic infrastructure and to really be a church that's contagious with the gospel?
Mm, that's good. I like it. I like it a lot. Well, that'll be on Tuesday morning. Like I said, you're sharing on Monday night. It seems like you are constantly, God's using you to put books together and put books together and put books together. And I know Case for Christmas came out some time ago. I read it for the first time last week.
Oh.
It was good.
Oh, thanks.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. But you've recently put one out called A Case for Grace, I believe it is.
Right.
Can you kind of summarize that for us?
Sure. You know, there's a story about C.S. Lewis who was wandering around the halls of Oxford, and he came upon a room where a bunch of professors were arguing about something. And he went in and he said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, we're trying to figure out what's really unique about Christianity." And he said, "Well, that's easy. Grace." And, you know, grace is unique to Christianity. There is no other world religion that is based on a message of grace, God's
Amen.
unmerited favor to us, his favor to sinners out of his love and so. But what's interesting to me is that when Jesus talked about grace, he didn't give a theological treatise. He told the story of the prodigal son. And so I think often stories illuminate various aspects of grace, like mere propositional statements of truth can't seem to do. So in this book, The Case for Grace, I traveled about 24,000 miles to sit down with people who I've come to know through the years and new people I've met, whose stories about how God has changed radically their life, how his grace has absolutely redirected the course of their existence in this world and the next. And to tell those stories in a way where each story kind of shines a light on a different aspect of grace.
Wow.
So the stories range from, you know, drug addicts to homeless people to orphans to nice people to, you know, you name it. And woven into it is a bit of my story that I've never really told before, which delves into some reasons why I ended up an atheist for much of my early life, and how God's grace rescued me from that. So, you know, it's a story that's very personal, but to me, I'm kind of a junkie for testimonies. I'm a junkie for stories of about how God has radically transformed lives in such a way that you stand back and you say, only God could do this.
That's right.
And that's what this book's about.
Wow, that's so cool. It is. It truly is. It's next on my reading list. I'm reading a book by Frank Turek right now.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be joining us in 2017 at our State Evangelism Conference in 2017. Well, you had mentioned stories, and you had mentioned how stories impact you and your life. They do me as well. How do you see telling stories and sharing the gospel going hand in hand in, say, a conversational approach to personal evangelism? How do you see that working, or does it work?
Well, you know, I think often when we think of evangelism and conversational evangelism, we think of telling our story and telling God's story. And I think that both of those are important, to tell the story of how God has intersected our lives and changed us, and then, of course, the gospel, God's story. But there's another story that often gets missed, and that's the story of the person we're talking to. Often, I think the best approach to evangelism is to first elicit their story, to do more listening than talking, to ask questions about their background, to explore what their spiritual perspective is and what led them to those conclusions. So I like to, when I'm engaged in personal evangelism, I like to initially try to find out their background, their story, where they're coming from. And I like to ask a lot of questions and get into a lot of detail about what their beliefs are and what their beliefs as when they were younger were, why they've changed, why they don't go to church, why they're not interested in God or whatever it is.
That's good.
And then ultimately, you know, after you really have explored their story, it's very natural for them to say, well, what about you? What do you think? And then it's a perfect opportunity to say, oh, well, let me tell you my story. And then you can share how God has intersected and changed your life.
Oh, that's good. Thank you for sharing that.
Maybe, sure.
Sounds like the case for a conversation.
Yeah. There you go. More alliteration. I need that.
That's good, Lee. Thank you for sharing that. I agree with you. I do. Matter of fact, I don't know if you know Dr. Alvin Reed.
Yes.
Alvin's going to be with us at the State Evangelism Conference the same time you're there, January 25th, 26th. Yeah. And he'll actually be unpacking some of that for us, both in his preaching time as well as a breakout of conversational evangelism and how senior adults or older adults have a bridge already built. They already have a platform with the millennials.
Yeah.
Because the millennials are hungry for those relationships with the older adults because for a large part they're transient.
Yeah, that's right.
And they just have this void. So we're really looking forward to Alvin being with us, you being with us. Sean McDowell's going to be there.
Oh, I love Sean. He went to seminary with my son Kyle, and they're both now professors at Biola University.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Miles McPherson is going to be joining us.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
I love Miles.
And let's see, Vern Charette and Don Wilton, Dr. Don Wilton.
Oh, yeah. I don't know them personally, but I've read some of their stuff.
Yeah, and then Johnny Hunt will be here on Tuesday night.
Great.
And he'll be preaching on Tuesday night. So we're really excited about how God has brought all of this together. I've got an extra minute. Let me take you someplace. I heard this on the radio. Of course, if you hear it on the radio, it's got to be true.
Yeah, right.
But I heard this on the radio, and it was this man, he called in, and he was so pumped. He called into this Christian station, and he was so pumped, so excited. And his statement was, I got to fill this person's gas tank up, and because I filled the person's gas tank up, they heard the gospel. It's not that he told them the gospel, but by filling their gas tank up, by paying for their fuel, he felt like the gospel was shared.
Mm.
Yeah, we've got a lot of confusion out there, I believe, with actually what the gospel is. Why don't you nutshell for us, just real quick, what is the gospel? It's not obviously spending money, although that's a good deed, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Buying a meal or something like that, but help us unpack that real quick.
Yeah, you know, it's important that, you know, when we serve other people in a way like that, that can be a really good way to, you know, set the stage for talking about what motivates us to do that, which is the fact that God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, is loves us, has forgiven us, has adopted us as His children, and open the door of heaven for us. And absent that kind of explanation, absent some way of connecting a good deed with words of the gospel, you know, you're not really sharing the gospel. You're doing something nice. And you know what? The Kiwanis Club is nice.
Yes.
And the Rotary Club is nice.
Yes.
Churches are different. Churches are nice, too. We do nice things. But more than that, we bear a message, and we do nice things for people because God has transformed our values and our character and our morality and our priorities and our relationships, and consequently, we're willing to serve people and make a difference in other people's lives. But, you know, I get worried when people say, well, all we have to do is show people that we care about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not quite enough. We have to help them understand. You know, the Bible says in Romans that how are people going to believe unless someone tells them?
Yes.
So at some point, in some way, we have to connect the way we serve other people with the message of hope and eternal life that's available through Christ.
Amen. That's very well stated. Thank you for that. And
sure.
I pray that this time that we've got to spend together is an encouragement to, it's been an encouragement for me just to get to talk to you and hear your words, but I pray it's an encouragement for all that tune in to the Messenger Insight podcast. This is a great time that happens very frequently here in Oklahoma. It's a good ministry. We've had several people on here. Sean McDowell has been one of those that's been on here with us.
Oh, that's great.
So, Lee, thank you.
Sure.
Man, thank you so much for taking this time, taking a few moments to just share with us and help us process evangelism and how all of this should play out in our daily life. And that's what it's all about. It's not about one day of the week that evangelism is real to us. This is about an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. And out of that overflow, we get to brag on Christ and tell Him how He's changed our lives.
There you go.
I love it.
What's better than that?
Oh, my. I'm with you. So looking forward to you being with us in Oklahoma on Monday, January 25th, and Tuesday, January 26th, for our State Evangelism Conference. Again, Lee, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Mike. I'm really looking forward to being with you. Appreciate what you do there in Oklahoma, and praying it's going to impact churches and lives all over the state and beyond.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.